Helen, thanks so much for joining us this morning on Biz News. A quick update in terms of where we stand with the papers you have lodged in the Western Cape High Court with regards to having the Expropriation Act declared unconstitutional and nullified. Can you give me the status quo as it stands?
Yes, we have filed papers. We want that act nullified. We believe it's unconstitutional, both procedurally and substantively. We think we have a strong case. We've gone on the strongest legal argument, which is not perhaps our strongest objection to the bill or the act, but we are obviously taking the route that gives us the best prospect of success without going into too many complexities.
As I understand it, you have been opposed to this bill as the Democratic Alliance since 2018. Is that factually correct?
Yes, that is factually correct. And in fact, you must remember the history of this act. It started with a resolution at the ANC's elective conference in 2017. Now, that was a resolution to introduce expropriation without compensation into the law, and specifically into the General Expropriation Act that the ANC wanted. And it came straight out of the RET faction of the ANC. And we have been strongly opposed to it ever since, and our opposition continues to this day.
Now, this situation is a very, very politicized one. There are haters and lovers on both sides of the conversation.
There always
but
are.
perhaps we can just go back to the fundamental principle that the Act is supposed to address inequalities of the past. That's one of the fundamental tenets of the Act. Now, this is not what you are opposed to, correct? I just want to get clarity on that situation.
Let me say, Bronwyn, that this Act is not supposed to be about land restitution and land reform. There are three other acts that deal with the inequities and injustices of the past. Those are the Restitution of Land Rights Act, and then there are two land reform acts. One is called a Land Tenancy Act. Those are the three acts that are set into motion precisely for the purposes of land reform and restitution to address the inequities of the past and the oppressive land distribution and confiscation of the past. This Expropriation Act is an entirely different act. This Expropriation Act is not a land restitution act and shouldn't be, and the ANC is smuggling that clause into the Expropriation Act to try and get an open-ended process of restitution at the majority party's will at any point they want. Now, you know that land restitution and land reform has a cutoff date because the framers of those three acts said we cannot have uncertainty about property ownership into the future. There must be certainty. There must also be restitution. So there is a cutoff date. What the ANC is doing in the Expropriation Act is smuggling in an open-ended process without a cutoff date. And that is a major problem. The Expropriation Act is supposed to be there to expropriate land that a state needs for the provision of public infrastructure. Railways, roads, bridges, dams, whatever they need land for the public good. And they obviously have to then demonstrate that it's in the public good and give fair market value for the expropriation, unless the value can be objectively ascertained as effectively null. And that would happen in very, very few cases on an objective assessment. But it's not meant for land restitution. And now what the government is trying to do is sneak into an act that's meant for different purposes, the null compensation clause that was adopted at the 2017 ANC elective conference when the RET faction won the fight.
Helen, what does this mean for the GNU? Because this is a huge, I suppose, coming together moment of two sides of the equation. Can this break the GNU, in other words?
Well, I don't see why it should. I mean, we've got a different position on this act from the ANC. And we say we're acting in South Africa's interests because our joint objective is economic growth and jobs. Everyone agrees that that is South Africa's number one priority. And given that, property uncertainty and broadening the right for the state to expropriate your land without compensation is massively detrimental to investment, growth, and jobs. So we make that argument very coherently. We think history all around the world has proved our point, and we believe we're acting in the very best interests of all South Africans. We're fully in favor of land restitution, land reform, which is happening under the other three acts. We're absolutely opposed to the ANC doing what they're trying to do in the Expropriation Act, and we believe that our position is in the best interests of South Africa. The ANC is welcome to fight with us and to disagree with us, but our job is not to make up the numbers for the ANC and the Government of National Unity. Our job is to ensure that we fight for all the people in South Africa in that Government of National Unity on the basis of the mandate given to us by the voters that put us there and put us in a position to hold the balance of power in the GNU.
From a layperson's perspective, talk me through the process now. You have lodged the papers, as I said earlier, at the Western Cape High Court. What happens from here?
Right. Well, our papers begin with a very strong process point. And the process point is the following. That 5 out of the 7 provinces that voted for the Expropriation Act in the NCOP, that's the National Council of Provinces, 5 out of the 7 that voted for the act did not have a proper mandate from their provinces. There's a process defined in law that has to be gone through for a province to give a mandate to their delegation in the NCOP. That process was not gone through for a full 5 of the 7 provinces. That's the Eastern Cape, the Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, and Limpopo. And if that is the case, the act has to go back to the drawing board and start from the beginning. So we believe that that is a strong opening gambit. And if we win that argument, then the end of that process is that the act goes back to first square one.
And then the second part of the argument, if you don't win on those procedural grounds?
The second part of the argument is that the act is internally highly contradictory and confusing, which makes it unconstitutional for the very simple reason that the Constitution says that the law has to be clear and interpretable by ordinary people. And this certainly isn't. But that still doesn't hit the core principle that we're against, which is widening the door for a power-abusing government, potentially in the future, to expropriate people's property by abusing the law and the courts and packing the land claims court with cadres and using it for purposes that were never intended. So maybe this government won't do it, and certainly Dean McPherson, our Minister of Infrastructure, won't do that. But you've got to legislate for the worst of times, not the best of times.
So let's take that example. Dean McPherson currently in the position of, this falls under his ambit effectively. But what we're saying is, should another person, and maybe let's talk about the EFF, occupy that portfolio, they may have powers that, well, the law as it stands, the act as it stands, would give him powers where he can manipulate or she can manipulate the scenario to their intended desire. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, we don't know which president is going to come in the future. We've learned previously that we legislated for a Nelson Mandela and ended up with a Jacob Zuma. And we saw exactly what happened. I mean, he made sure that his cadres were deployed to all sorts of independent institutions of state that just became an extension of his power abuse. We've learned that lesson. And that lesson has to hold us up in the future when we say it's not going to happen again. And we don't want a situation where a CADA deploying majority on the Judicial Service Commission can pack the Land Claims Court and other courts and then go after a kind of property stripping exercise to shore up their own failing support base and destroy the economy of South Africa in the process. That's the worst case scenario that we've got to actually prevent. In the terms of this Act now, especially under 12.4 of the Act, that's a particular section of the Act, the government can decide that it needs land for restitution purposes, which is covered in three other acts, as I've just explained. And they can decide they want land for that, urban land, rural land, whatever. And then they can get an arbitrator to go and look. And if it was under a Jacob Zuma type government, they would make sure that the arbitrator knew what the outcome should be before he began. And then it would go to the Land Claims Court for ratification. And that is highly manipulable as a process. And we must also remember that property has a very, very wide meaning. It does not only mean land. It means every other kind of property, movable and immovable.
One other element before I let you go, and that is Trump's position on South Africa and whether he is taking this out of context. It's hurting us. It's going to hurt us in terms of international relations. Potentially even the AGOA Act may come under extreme pressure and we may lose AGOA completely. But do you think that his emotive response on this is justified at this stage?
Well, if we're going to pass acts like this, we mustn't be surprised. That's the point. We know about Trump. We know how he responds to things. But I don't think it was the Expropriation Act largely that triggered him. I think he just had a long meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu. And what he's really fundamentally opposed to is South Africa siding with all America's enemies in the world to undercut America's interests. And what Trump is basically saying is, if you choose to do that, we're not going to choose to give you any assistance, either in aid or trade. Trump was wrong to say that land is currently being expropriated hand over fist. It's not. But this act opens the door to it happening in future. He just said it's
so
happening
this is just
now.
This is actually just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what the real problem is between South
yes.
Africa and yes. the U.S.
I mean, Trump's had enough of, and the U.S., frankly, has had enough, because this is a bipartisan thing in the U.S. Both the Republicans and the Democrats, many of them, have had enough of South Africa acting as a proxy for Iran in the International Court of Justice. So that is one thing. Then there is huge anger in Washington about South African soldiers siding with Tshisekedi in the Democratic Republic of Congo against Paul Kagame, who is a very strong American ally, in Rwanda. And the United States doesn't like that. The United States doesn't like what we're doing with BRICS. What we're doing is building that up into a geopolitical anti-Western force. And, you know, it's ironic because the moment we celebrate most in our history was the moment that we became a constitutional democracy with everyone having the right to vote and checks and balances in the Constitution. And those are all Western values. And now we are making common cause with everyone who wants to destroy the system of government that we hopefully still prize. So the point is, they're not going to be able to get away with it. And so the cause is not Donald Trump, although he got it wrong on wholesale land expropriation. The cause is what South Africa is doing with all the countries that oppose the interests of America and the West, the whole of the West, by the way, and they've had enough of it.
Helen, thank you very much for your insights and for sharing them here on BizNews with us. Much appreciated.